This is Briar Cloth, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor. Looking at the radar this morning, that line of showers that moved through eastern North Dakota and eastern South Dakota yet last night, overnight, is now stretched from the Arrowhead region of Minnesota all the way down to the Sioux Falls area, kind of diagonal across the state. Very light showers with most indications of less than a quarter of an inch of rain and mostly just trace amounts being the, for the most part, in that rain shower overnight. The House Agriculture Subcommittee on Livestock, Dairy, and Poultry heard from National Turkey Federation Vice President John Zimmerman of Minnesota yesterday, discussing how the next farm bill can play a role in dealing with avian influenza.
Indemnity payments have been a vital tool in this battle. It does not cover all grower losses, but they provide a vital economic lifeline. APHIS has begun paying higher indemnities for breeders and organic turkeys, and we hope Congress will support expanding this approach to other special categories, including no antibiotics ever turkeys and grandparent and great-grandparent breeder stock. The upcoming Farm Bill can play an important role in battling HPAI. The 2018 Farm Bill created a strong program to combat foreign animal diseases by establishing a three-tier animal disease program with mandatory funding, and legislation is being introduced in the House and Senate this week to highlight the three-tiered program, and we urge everyone here to co-sponsor the bill, and we look forward to continuing our work together on the upcoming Farm Bill.
Zimmerman also highlighted the importance of CO2, or carbon dioxide, in turkey processing. Recent shortages have impacted processing plants across the country, which could be made worse by policies in the Inflation Reduction Act.
CO2 is essential in turkey production as a stunning agent and as a way to safely cool products in our plants. But CO2 prices have soared and suppliers have invoked force majeure numerous times because of CO2 shortages. Almost every turkey plant has experienced at least one force majeure, and the industry has lost over 500 days collectively to shortages. Initial disruptions were driven by maintenance at CO2 processing plants, but the looming doubling of the 45Q tax credit for carbon sequestration in the Inflation Reduction Act is sure to exacerbate the problem. The turkey industry's commitment to food safety will always be our top priority, and NTF welcomes the exploration of new approaches to controlling salmonella, so long as the new policies are science and data-driven and likely to improve public health.
Environmental Protection Agency is proposing changes to how it governs the review of new chemicals under the Toxic Substances Control Act. The proposal eliminates eligibility for exemptions from the full safety review process for new PFAS chemicals and other persistent bioaccumulative and toxic chemicals. USDA announcing that nearly $11 billion will be invested in to help bring affordable clean energy to rural communities throughout the country. Rural electric cooperatives, renewable energy companies, and electric utilities will be able to apply for funding through the programs. U.S. Department of Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says it's the largest single federal investment in rural electrification since President Roosevelt signed the Rural Electrification Act in 1936. Planting progress varies across the Northern Plains. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
In areas of northwest Minnesota, some producers have been in the field almost nonstop and have gotten a lot of beets, wheat, and corn in the ground. DeKalb Asgrow technical agronomist Grant Meering says different areas are seeing vast differences in field conditions and rainfall.
Really starting to get rolling in many spots. In some areas, we're going really fast. And in some areas, we're just barely picking and choosing and getting started. It really is a complicated, interesting start to the season in, you know, North Dakota and northern Minnesota. But I'll maybe speak more to eastern North Dakota and west northwest Minnesota. It does seem like the further north you are, the faster we have got rolling. There's folks in the northern area, northern River Valley, northeast North Dakota, northwest Minnesota, who are really far along on their wheat, sugar beets, corn, and even done with corn by the end of the week and rolling on soybeans.
Meering says that while some areas may be frustrated with slowed progress, last year was much worse.
The further south you go, you get into pockets where it's really hardly started. You know, if you go to Hillsborough West there, a ways in North Dakota. And then you go further south into southeast North Dakota, and there's some farmers that are really rolling fast and have a little lighter dirt. And there's others that have the wetter soils, and it's still a little bit dark. And choosing some nicer fields. And then, of course, I heard a nice saying a couple days ago. You know, we were 2 days from planting, and we got Alberta forest fire smoke over us and less sun to really dry out the fields, or less solar radiation. On the whole, we're pretty happy to be making progress, and we're always reminding ourselves that we are ahead of last year, and that feels good.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
This is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on this Thursday, the 18th of May. Bills remain on the table in major areas ahead of Monday's constitutionally mandated legislative adjournment date in Minnesota. House leadership had an original goal to wrap up by today, but that seems unlikely. Taxes, health, human services, transportation, environment, and energy all have yet to be approved. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will sign the agriculture and broadband bills at a signing ceremony in Finlayson in eastern Minnesota this morning. Signing ceremony will be held at 9:45 with Senator Eric Putman, Representative Samantha Vang, Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson, and agriculture and broadband leaders from the state in attendance. As Minnesota's legislative session nears its end, Minnesota Farmers Union Government Relations Director Stu Laurie says the next step will include gaining feedback from membership and helping guide programming.
We're really looking forward to going on the road and getting out to our county chapters and talking about some of the work that got done this legislative session, getting their feedback, ideas for future sessions. The legislature passes, they approve funding, and they pass instructions for agencies. But then those agencies have to go create programs around it, you know, be that on soil health or cooperative development or any of the other pieces that Minnesota Farmers Union has worked hard to get through this session. And so we want to bring that feedback from our members back to those agency heads, including Commissioner Tom Peterson, to make sure that they're building programs that serve farmers well.
Farm bill is also a focus for members.
We're also going to be focusing, of course, on the 2023 Farm Bill that is close at hand. We are lucky to be represented by some fantastic federal officials who serve on the Ag Committee, and we want to make sure that our members' voice is heard in those discussions as well.
Preparation for a possible increase in insect population is underway. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
University of Minnesota Extension Integrated Pest Management Specialist Bruce Potter says they're getting started on expanding their network of insect trapping for black cutworms, army worms, and more.
Case of cutworms when corn cutting will start, and then just as importantly, when those larvae are going to start to be large enough that they're going to quit feeding. So when you kind of get out of the woods on things. So what we do is we have a bunch of cooperators out there with pheromone traps. They check them once a day. As these moths migrate in on weather systems from the south, they get glued into a trap and we get to count them.
Potter says there are indicators that black cutworms and armyworms could be a problem this year.
It was pretty uneventful for the first part of the year when we had this last batch of weather come in. So last week we started to pick up a lot of black cutworms. So we could have some issues with those. There's specific fields that guys are going to want to focus attention on, scouting fields that don't have BT in them, fields that have a lot of early season weeds, those sorts of things. And probably a little more concerning than the cutworms even are the number of armyworms we're catching. And I've been trapped looking at light traps since the 70s, and I set my personal record last Friday, 193 in one night.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
With the exception of hard red winter wheat, the wheat market sold off sharply yesterday. Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifert expects that wheat market to continue to struggle.
And every time we think wheat is just about to break out to the upside, it gets answered with, you know, two sharp down days in a row and kind of dashes all of our hopes. Now, I think we could be in a broader bottoming formation there for the wheat, and that could be helpful for corn, but you don't love it when Chicago wheat's down 28 3/4, really. I mean, it's overall heavy across the board in the grains, and there's just a lot of talk about being overpriced.
National Milk Producers Federation, U.S. Dairy Export Council, and others commended the introduction of the Safeguarding American Value-Added Exports Act to promote the protection of common names in the next farm bill. Language in that SAVE Act would direct USDA to work with U.S. Trade Representative's office to include protection of commonly used terms in international negotiations. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service will be conducting two major surveys over the next several weeks. North Dakota State statistician Darren Jancy says the June Agriculture Survey and the June Area Survey are the two most important and well-known surveys the National Ag Statistics Service conducts.
But it's for June acreage, which would be making updates to what came out in March in the prospective plantings report. And so, you know, obviously, you know, at the reference date of March 1st, nothing was in the ground yet. And you know, the producers might have had an idea what they were going to do, that was just kind of gives a snapshot of what maybe their intentions are. But now that we do the June 1 reference date, and hopefully everything's in the ground or close to it, then we can kind of get an actual picture of what's being planned for this year, and possibly if there's any changes that need to be made to March, we can do that at that point.
And those surveys will be going out quickly.
Initially, it is going to go out by mail, and it gives the producers a chance to respond by mail if that's what they would like to. When they do get that mailing, there is a code that's specific just to them where they can go online and respond that way out on the NAS website. And then obviously then if we don't get either one of those after a short period of time, then they may still get a phone call as well to make sure that we can try to get as many responses as possible.
The Energy Information Administration's weekly report showing ethanol production during the week that ended May 12th at 987,000 barrels per day. That's up 23,000 from the previous week, but it is 10,000 barrels per day less than the same week last year. Ethanol stocks were down 100,000 barrels from the previous week at 23.2 million barrels. Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we're seeing July wheat Minneapolis down 25.5 cents in the overnight session here at 8.34 1/4. September is down 25 cents at 8.34 3/4. Chicago July wheat is down 14 1/4 at 6.11. Kansas City July wheat down 28 1/4 at 8.57 1/4. July corn is down 7 3/4 at 5.53 3/4. December corn down 4 1/4 at 4.94 3/4. July soybeans down 6 3/4 at 13.30 1/4. November soybeans down 5 3/4 at 11.81 3/4. And in Winnipeg, July canola is down $1.20 a metric ton at $712.90 Canadian. On the farm calendar, the North Dakota Agriculture Products Utilization Commission, APUC, meeting at 9 o'clock this morning. That'll be in Dickinson at the Astoria Hotel. Also on the farm calendar, the NDSU Animal Science hosting a beef field day. That comes up May 24th. That'll be at the NDSU Beef Research Center Complex in Fargo. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.